listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and I'm so honored to be your guest host while Dr. Bernadine Cruz follows sled dogs racing in sunny Alaska. I prefer warmth along with sunshine myself. We miss you, Dr. Cruz, and hope you're enjoying your adventure. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Now, I know you're all pet lovers, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. My husband is truly a pet lover too, but there are a few times when he's sure to get aggravated with them. An obvious one is when he steps in misplaced poop. He's relatively patient when the dogs are vying for space in the bed, but all patience is lost when the dogs begin to scratch themselves at night. The tags on their collars clank and tinkle for what seems like hours on end, and it keeps them up at night. So why are they clanking? Well, it's because they're itchy. They incessantly scratch at their necks or their sides, and the tags clank together. Instead of getting help or attention, you know, the shoemaker, they just get banished to another room in the house. Well, he's not the only person who gets aggravated by this, and it's not only annoying to hear, but it's sad for our pets when we see them itching and scratching and biting constantly. And oftentimes, it's not until our pets become a nuisance to the owners do they get a trip to the vet. Well, today, Dr. Jeannie Budgen is someone you may be seeing if your pet's collar is shaking like we just described. Dr. Budgen is a dermatology and allergy specialist for animals. Yep, you heard me correctly. She's a specialist in the skin and allergies for pets. Dr. Budgen is an esteemed member of the American College of Veterinary Dermatology and is currently the staff dermatologist at the Animals Specialty Center in Yonkers, New York. She's published articles pertaining to veterinary dermatology in several journals and has presented at conferences throughout the country. Dr. Budgen's had years of advanced training and research in veterinary dermatology and is a board-certified specialist in the field. We're so fortunate to have such an expert as our guest. We have lots of commonly asked questions, and with her here, lots of answers about itchy skin, allergies, and common skin complaints with our pets as soon as we return. Stay tuned to learn to stop the clank. We'll be right back with dermatologist Dr. Jeannie Budgen after these messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. With us now is renowned veterinary dermatologist, Dr. Jeannie Budgen. We're so glad to have you here with us today, Dr. Budgen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, you know, I want to know, don't all veterinarians handle skin problems in pets? I mean, why a veterinary dermatologist?
Well, a veterinary dermatologist has expertise and specialized training in the diagnosis and treatment of animals with disorders of not only the skin, but the hair coat, ears, and claws. They have extensive training and experience in the treatment of allergic disorders and can perform many specialized diagnostic procedures. You know, I think uncomplicated or first-time skin problems can often be effectively managed with a primary veterinarian. But if the signs do not resolve or you find yourself once again up at night because of your pet's itching, it's definitely time to see a dermatologist.
I think a lot of people out there really have no idea that there is such a thing as a veterinary dermatologist. How would somebody even know that?
Well, you certainly can talk to your regular veterinarian about a referral to a veterinary dermatologist. There's also a website associated with the American College of Veterinary Dermatology that lists all of the different dermatologists by region.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that. Okay, so my husband knows how much I love him, so I'm going to ask this question first, because I know he listens to all the shows, right? Pet caretakers are often expressed concern that their dogs sleep in the bed with them and keep them awake with this incessant scratching. So why do you think this happens?
Well, there are actually many reasons why pets may scratch, and this combined with licking and chewing is usually a sign of itch. The causes of itch can vary and include parasites on the skin, such as fleas, less commonly skin mites and lice. I'm sure your husband won't be too happy to hear that.
Yuck.
And also allergic skin disease. Allergies are actually very common in companion animals, and about one out of every five dogs suffers from some form of allergy.
Allergies. So how would you know if your pet had allergies?
Well, you know, the signs of allergy certainly differ between people and animals. Humans, the symptoms usually include hay fever-like signs such as sneezing, wheezing, runny nose, and watery eyes. As we've been talking about, dogs and cats will commonly lick and scratch. They get skin irritations and hair loss. Often they smell bad, and they frequently that's a result of a skin and ear infection. And although these are not life-threatening symptoms, they certainly make your pet very uncomfortable.
So we love our pets, but they stink and they have greasy skin and they scratch and keep us up all night. Go figure. Why are we so tolerant of animals, really? Well, we are. I can vouch for that. So now allergies, when I think of allergies in people, I think of hay fever, things that you inhale. Is that what animals get, or do they have like topical allergies, like from touching things or flea bites or things like that?
Well, flea allergies are actually the most common form of allergy in dogs and cats, and the incidence of flea allergy does increase in the spring and summer when flea activity increases. If an animal is allergic to fleas, one bite can actually cause itching for up to 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
So in flea-sensitive pets, often the fleas aren't observed, so it's a tricky diagnosis, and so they're not considered a problem.
You know, as a veterinarian, a lot of times I'll see a client and they'll complain of itchiness, and I'll even just mention the word flea, and they're absolutely 1,000,000,000% positive that their pets don't have fleas.
That's called flea denial, Dr. Levitan.
That's a new one. That's a good term. We should start a website. Are you in flea denial? So how do we explain to people that just that one bite, even maybe we could just tell them that it may not have been something in their home, maybe when the pet was outside? I mean, can they be exposed to fleas from other ways than just inside their house?
Oh, absolutely. You know, fleas are also present outside. Other dogs may carry them without showing any symptoms. If they go to the groomer or boarding facility, their risk increases a little bit. And certainly in New York City, a lot of dogs go to dog parks and really enjoy that experience. But unfortunately, that too is a little bit risky when it comes to fleas. But treatment, really the best treatment is just prevention. The incidence of flea allergy has really declined in recent years, and that's because we have the availability of very safe and effective flea products. This is often in the form of a monthly tablet or a spot-on type of application that's available from a veterinarian.
Yeah, flea products have really come a long way. Speaking of that, I think it's really important to let our listeners know that buying over-the-counter flea products could be dangerous. Would you be able to talk to them a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, not only are they dangerous, but unfortunately, most of the flea collar shampoos and dips are really not very effective and can be harmful, as you mentioned, especially to cats. Some of these products also contain ingredients that fleas have developed a resistance to over time, so they're no longer killed by the active ingredient.
So where's the best place to get flea treatment, and what type of treatment would you recommend?
The best place to get flea treatment is at least to start with talking to your primary veterinarian about what options are available. And as I mentioned, there's a number of monthly spot-on products that are very effective and very safe. There are also tablets that dogs that are active swimmers or get frequently shampooed or bathed, those products may be a little bit more effective.
I'm just amazed by how many new products there are out there for pets. And one of the great things is those flea products can also take care of other types of parasites. So really important to speak to your family veterinarian about flea treatment. So that's one of the most common causes of itchiness in dogs. But if they have allergies to other things, how would you know what they're allergic to?
Well, certainly the clinical signs of itching and chewing and licking are suggestive. But as I mentioned, there are some other reasons why dogs and cats become itchy. A big reason is because they get infections on their skin. But really, the only way to truly know if they're allergic is to do some specialized testing, such as an intradermal skin test, which is what a veterinary dermatologist does quite frequently. I can vouch for that, especially in the spring and summer.
What is that like? What does that tell you? What other kinds of allergens are you looking for besides just fleas?
Well, with the intradermal skin test, generally what's done is a pet is lightly sedated, which is probably their preference, because what follows is 60 different injections into the skin. This is very similar to prick testing in people. And not only do we inject flea saliva, but we also inject things like dust and molds and all different types of pollens to trees, grasses, weeds, etc.
So it sounds almost like torture, but I know my dogs who are, as you know, very allergic, as we've discussed. I have a very tolerant family. But my dogs have also had flea test allergy testing with those little tiny injections in the skin. And although it's 60 injections, it's really not that bad, right?
I don't think it's too bad. I can't speak for them, but it is such a tiny needle and it's such a small injection that I know that some dogs will actually tolerate it while they're awake, but I don't tend to do that unless there's some reason not to sedate them for the procedure. It's a short procedure, 15 to 20 minutes in length, and they certainly don't wake up and act like they're overly uncomfortable afterwards.
No, and they do it to people, obviously, wide awake, because you can explain to a person what's going on. So even though it sounds like a big deal, it's not a big deal. They recover immediately from it, and it really tells you a lot of information, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely, and that's certainly something that you would want to speak to your family veterinarian about, because it's generally something that a veterinarian dermatologist performs exclusively.
So what about other things? Can you tell about if they're allergic to food, or if they're allergic to food, do they have that same itchiness?
They can. Certainly food allergies can mimic, especially airborne allergies to dust or molds or pollens, as we've discussed. But unfortunately, the only test for food allergy is something called a food elimination dietary trial. Which there's no skin test or no blood test for food allergies. It would be nice if there was, but really, we need to conduct what's called an elimination dietary trial and feed a special diet for a set amount of time.
So is it possible that a dog could have inhalant allergies and food allergy?
Unfortunately, it's possible that a dog could be allergic to fleas, something in the environment, and something in their diet. It's not that common to have combination allergies, a little bit more common in cats, actually.
So maybe if the treatment isn't working, someone should consider that maybe there's more than one problem going on at the same time?
Absolutely.
And then once you find out what they're allergic to, what do you do? I mean, you've done a skin test. They're itchy. So now we know that we've confirmed they have allergies. But so what? Now what?
Well, what we generally do is we can take some steps to try to eliminate the allergen or the triggering cause from the environment. But that's often a challenge. I mean, we can be successful when it comes to good or excellent flea control. When you're talking about removing dust from your home, you know, your pet would essentially have to live in a bubble to avoid dust, which obviously isn't practical. So what we do is we put our patients onto an allergy vaccine and we make a specialized recipe of what they're allergic to, put that into a solution, and then we generally teach pet owners how to give these allergy vaccines at home. And while that may sound a little bit intimidating, most people, just with some coaching and some encouragement, are actually very good at it, and the dogs don't seem to mind at all.
So I've heard of that, too, and I actually used to do that to one of my dogs many years ago, and I think it's such a great thing that we have the opportunity to give our animals allergy shots, and they really work. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a few months to work, right? So sometimes people lose their patience with that. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it can be somewhat slow in onset. Fortunately, I would say about 60 to 70% of my patients really improve on allergy vaccines. And I think it's important to consider that, you know, you're really treating the allergy itself. You're training the body not to react to this allergen when it encounters it, either, you know, a flea or something in the environment, versus just, you know, giving a pet medication like steroids or things just to mask the itch. So to answer your question, I would say hang in there. I generally try to get people or ask clients to give it at least a year before they give up on allergy vaccines.
Well, there must be something they can do in the meantime, not necessarily cortisone, but are there other things that will help them to become less itchy while we wait out that year?
Absolutely. There are many, many options. I think frequent bathing and frequent ear cleaning is very important to help prevent infection. Antihistamines are a number of supplements that can also be given. And really, we kind of lean on steroids as a last resort and use them as conservatively as possible in our patients.
Yeah, that's great. So I have one other question. Can dogs and cats be allergic to each other?
That's a great question, actually. Dogs can be allergic to cats and may be tested for this allergy via an intradermal skin test. Fortunately, it's very uncommon and not really considered a significant problem. There really isn't any evidence that cats can be allergic to dogs.
Well, that's good to know because, well, our, at least people who don't want to have both don't have an excuse now. Well, we have to take a break here. But when we come back, we'll be learning about other weird and difficult to handle skin problems in pets, like what's a hot spot. I'm sure we've all heard of those. So stay tuned right after these messages. We'll be back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition. This is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
We're back with great information from veterinary dermatologist Dr. Jeannie Budgen. veterinary dermatologist. Well, that's true. There are dermatologists and allergists for pets, and she's been giving us the lowdown on veterinary allergies and skin problems. Before we broke, we started to talk about flea allergies and all sorts of different allergens, and now we're going to discuss something that we typically find on our pets in the summer, at least in the Northeast. Maybe it happens all year round, but what is a hot spot, and do they happen all year round?
Well, a hot spot, it's also called acute moist dermatitis, is a localized area of skin
infection. She laughs. Acute?
Infection.
It's not cute, right?
Yeah. Well, acute just means that hot spots can occur very suddenly. You know, one day you'll see nothing, the next day you'll wake up, and your pet will be scratching or really chewing or acting like they have a very sore spot on often the cheek or the neck, the outer thigh, the rump. These are kind of, you know, areas that we frequently see hot spots. And we also see hot spots commonly in dogs with longer hair coats or dense hair coats or dense undercoats, I should say, golden retrievers, Labradors, Rottweilers. And back to the acute moist dermatitis, moist means that they're very moist, obviously. So they're raw, they're inflamed, they're painful, they're often itchy, and they're in kind of a circular arrangement. And dermatitis just means that they're very inflamed, the skin is very angry about what's going on. The hair over the hot spot can be matted, it can actually obscure the size and the degree of the problem, and these lesions can, as I mentioned, appear very suddenly and grow very rapidly.
Yeah,
and all year round, absolutely, we can see hot spots. I agree with you that they are a little bit more common in the summer months, and that's direct correlation to what causes them, which we'll talk about in a moment. But certainly in some of the warmer climates, we can see them all year round. They're a lot less common during the winter, at least in the Northeast.
So let's talk about what causes those.
Well, there's usually some kind of inciting factor that initiates this whole licking and scratch cycle. Fleas, we've been talking a lot about fleas, but are often incriminated. Mites or other external parasites on the skin, even an insect sting or a bite, and allergies, once again, can really trigger the development of a hot spot.
When I think of a hot spot, well, as a veterinarian in practice, if I would see an animal with a hot spot, the owner would show me a little tiny spot, and I was always taught to shave the hair around it, but then I would find as I shaved it, the spot would be so much bigger than we originally thought it was. Is that typical?
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, the fur, when it's matted, kind of disguises the extent of the hot spot. And it's very, as you probably recall, very, very uncomfortable for these poor pets to develop hot spots.
So are they dangerous?
They're not dangerous per se. They are, as I mentioned, very uncomfortable for pets. And they often can be infected. So it is important if you see something that you think might be a hot spot, you go to your family veterinarian who, you know, might prescribe something to help with the itch and often some antibiotics to treat for any infection that might be present.
So it's pretty treatable at least. So you definitely need
Absolutely.
To go to a vet though, right? It's not something you can really take care of at home?
In most cases, you do need to see a veterinarian. There's actually, you know, very little that you can do at home. And when you see how itchy and how uncomfortable your pet is, you probably will want to get some kind of quick relief, which a veterinarian can prescribe or suggest. I would also say, too, that, you know, patients that get recurrent hot spots, in other words, a spot every summer, every spring, or several spots throughout the summer season, you know, it's very important to identify what's causing the hot spot versus just continue to treat it. And that's where, you know, veterinary dermatologists can sometimes help if they're a real recurrent problem in your pet.
So initially, if you see a hot spot, you'd go to your family veterinarian, right? But if it was something that was a recurrent problem, that would be a time to see a dermatologist?
Absolutely.
There's another question that I find very frequently that people ask, and they may not even think that it would be something that you would go to a dermatologist for, but ear infections. Now, I understand that dermatologists really deal a lot with ear infections.
Yes, ear infections, I do see them very frequently. And pets, you know, with ear infections will often shake their head and scratch at their ears. In other words, that collar shake. However, dogs that have very severe ear infections may not scratch their ears if they're painful. What owners will often report or what I'll see or appreciate on physical exam, a lot of discharge, you know, odor from the ear, discomfort around the head, And even pets can lose hearing if they have severe or long-standing ear infections.
So when would you know when to see a dermatologist regarding an ear infection?
Well, you know, if it's a first-time only ear infection or it's a very mild ear infection and your family veterinarian prescribes something and it goes away, then obviously there isn't a reason to see a dermatologist. But unfortunately, with ear infections, often they keep coming back. And there are several reasons why this occurs, allergy being very high on the list. Just as we've been talking about, allergies cause itchy skin, they also can cause recurrent ear infections. So if your pet develops an ear infection repeatedly or your family veterinarian treats it and it really doesn't get better, that might be a good time to consider a consultation with a veterinary dermatologist.
I think that's one of the most common reasons why I refer to veterinary dermatologists, actually, because, first of all, we talked about things have to be really disgusting sometimes or a nuisance to an owner before they get taken to the vet. And those ear infections often really smell.
They do.
And why is that?
Well, they usually smell from infection. You know, and infections can make the skin oily and feel warm or feel wet and also exude an odor. The same is true from the ear canal. So infections, often with bacteria or with yeast in the ear canal, can really generate quite a rancid odor from the area.
A lot of times I do ask the vet questions online, and a very common question people have is there a home remedy for ear infections? I always shy away from giving anybody any type of remedies online, but especially for ear infections. What is your thought on that?
I would tend to agree with you in terms of avoiding home remedies, primarily because, you know, many of the things that we might be tempted to clean the ear with or put into the ear, you know, sometimes you hear people using vinegar and water. And vinegar can be very irritating and can really sting the ear if it's sore or inflamed. And there are also things at home or over-the-counter that can make ear infections worse. In fact, they can be dangerous to the ear and impair healing if we don't have a kind of a solid idea of what's going on in the ear canal itself. Lastly, you know, using things like water, which I've had clients come in, they're cleaning the ears with water. They mean well, of course. But, you know, water is a big problem in ear infections because it creates this humid, wet environment that bugs, such as yeast, such as bacteria, really like to grow in. So something like putting water in the ear canal or hydrogen peroxide in the ear canal is all potentially very harmful.
So good to know. And once again, a good reason to see your family veterinarian first, see if they can help resolve that with some sort of medication from their office, and if it's something that's recurrent, once again, find a dermatologist.
Right.
Why do some dogs develop recurrent ear infections? Is it related to, as you said earlier, water in the ear, maybe swimming or bathing, or having maybe long, hairy ear flaps, something like that?
Well, there are several factors that contribute to the development of ear infections. So-called predisposing factors are those types of things that directly change the climate in the ear canal. So just as you said, water within the ear canal can increase the humidity and create an environment that causes infection or contributes to the formation of infection, such as yeast and bacteria. You know, it's interesting, yeast and bacteria, those two organisms are normally found in low numbers in the ear canal, on the skin. And then as we've been discussing, when there's some cause, such as an allergy or you know, a change in the environment on the skin, these yeast and bacteria populate. They have a party, essentially, and they cause infection, which really contributes to itch and odor and the things we've been discussing.
I'm picturing the party cartoon, the bacteria inside the ear, maybe a flea or two.
Hopefully not in the ear, but it's actually fairly unlikely that simply having a long or pendulous ear flap increases the risk of infection, as most dogs with this type of anatomy do not have ear infections.
So maybe more of a breed predisposition to allergies, which then leads to ear infections, or scratching, which leads to ear infections?
That's a very good point.
How do you know if your dog has an ear infection or even a skin infection?
Well, you as a pet owner or the average pet owner isn't going to know specifically that there's an infection. You know, they're going to see the clinical signs that we've been talking about, you know, the itch, the lick, the scratching, the odor from the ear, maybe some sensitivity around the ear, some head shaking. That's going to kind of, you know, give them a clue that something's going on. And then when they bring their pet to the veterinarian can conduct some tests on the skin and the ears to see if there's infection there. That's something I do day in and day out, actually, is collect some samples from the ear canal or some samples on the skin and take a look under the microscope and see what we see.
That's the greatest thing. And a lot of times people will say, well, I think something's wrong with my dog. Do I have to take it to the vet? And I always say to them, please take it to the vet, because that's really a great way for them to find out exactly what type of ear medication or skin medication to give them, because they can just literally take a sample and look at it under the microscope and often give an answer. So there is really a good reason to take your pet to the veterinarian or to a veterinary dermatologist. Dr. Budgen, can you tell us, what do you have to do to become a dermatologist?
Well, first of all, you have to go to veterinary school, and that's generally a 4-year program, as most people know. Following veterinary school, you have to complete a 1-year internship, which is very intensive training in all different areas of veterinary medicine. Internships are either offered through private practices or universities. And after the completion of an internship, you have to apply for a very competitive residency program in veterinary dermatology. And those programs are usually 2 to 3 years spent just studying veterinary dermatology and also some human dermatology as well. During that time frame, you also need to do research. You need to publish a series of case reports, or not publish a series of case reports, but submit a series of case reports to a board that essentially will certify you in veterinary dermatology. And that board is called the American College of Veterinary Dermatology. And I spoke of them earlier. They have a website. It's www.acvd.org. And there's a listing there where you can find a dermatologist and also some additional information about veterinary dermatology and what it takes to become a veterinary dermatologist. I should mention, too, because I remember it is a very grueling process. At the end of your residency, you actually have to take an examination, which is quite challenging. Fortunately, our pass rates have increased recently. We're all very proud of our recent board-certified diplomats. But it is quite a bit of training in addition to veterinary school to become a board-certified dermatologist.
And how would somebody get to a board-certified dermatologist?
Well, ideally, you know, speak to your family veterinarian if you feel as though you'd like, you know, a second opinion on your pet's condition. You can also go to the website that I mentioned, and I think the tab is Find a Dermatologist, and you can look up either by zip code or by region, I believe, to find a listing of veterinary dermatologists in your area.
So a lot of really important conclusions today. The answer to the itching and scratching and the things that keep us up at night with the collar shaking is not to take off the collar, but to see your veterinarian, and if need be, then go to see a veterinary dermatologist like Dr. Budgen. Well, we're out of time right now. We'd really like to thank our guest, Dr. Jeannie Budgen, and always our great producer for making this show possible. If you have more questions for Dr. Budgen or for myself, please email us at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. If you'd like transcripts of this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio Network, just go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on The Pet Doctor. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, please email them to us at ThePetDoctor@PetLifeRadio.com. It's been my pleasure to guest host The Pet Doctor, and I hope you hear from me again soon. Until then.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.